Słony blizzard sobody na irysa!
I prawda trajec wielka dala!
Kubaka bubej, chłony ci daj, wygodny ci stój się ci znowu skanboj! Dawaj przyjdzie i szło nie odkarmisz!
Życie nam ostra, żarty lepi!
Somebody's sins, but not mine. Melting in a pot of thieves, wild card up my sleeve, thick heart of stone, my sins my own. They belong to me. I embrace and engrave my own palm, sweet black X. Adam placed no hex on me. I embrace Eve and take full responsibility for every pocket I've picked, mean and slick. For every Johnny A song I've bawled to, for every rock and roll song I've bawled to, long before the church made it neat and right. So Christ, I'm giving you the goodbye. I'm firing you tonight. I can make my own light shine, and darkness too is equally fine. You can get strung up for my brother, baby, but for me, I draw the line. You died for somebody's sins, honey, but not mine.
I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O that inhabitest the priests of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm.
I am no feeble Christ, not me. He hangs in glib delight upon his cross, above my body, lowly me. Christ, forgive, forgive. Holy he holy, he holy. Shit, he forgives. Forgive, forgive. I vomit for you, Jesu, Christi Christus, puke upon your papal throne. Wrapped you are in the bloody shroud of churlish suicide. Wrapped I am in the bloody cloud of hellish genocide, petulant child. I have suffered for you where you have never known me. I too must die. Will you be shadowed in the arrogance of my death, your valley truth? What lights pass those pious heights? What passing bells for these in their trucks? For you, Lord, you are the flag bearer of these nations, one against the other that die in the mud. No piety, no deity. Is that your forgiveness? Saint, martyr, goat, Billy. Forgive? Shit, he forgives. He hangs upon his cross in self-righteous judgment. Hangs in crucified delight, nailed to the extent of his vision, his cross, his manhood, his violence, guilt, sin. He would nail my body upon his cross, as if I might have waited for him in the garden, as if I might have perfumed his body, washed those bloody feet. This woman that he seeks, suicide visionary, death reveler, rape, rapist, grave digger, earth mover, life fucker, Jesu, you scooped the pits of Auschwitz. The soil of Treblinka is rich in your guilt, the sorrow of your tradition. Your stupid humility is the crown of thorn we all must wear. For you, ha, master, master of gore, enigma, stigma, stigmata, errata, eraser. The cross is the mast of our oppression. You fly there, vain flag. You carry it. Wear it on your back, Lord, your back. Enola is your gaiety. Suffer, little children. Suffer in that horror. Hero horror, horror hero, hero shimmer, shimmer hero, hero shimmer, hero shimmer, Hiroshima, Hiroshima. The bodies are your delight. The incandescent flame is the spirit of it. They come to you, Jesu, to you. The nails are the only trinity. Hold them in your corpsey gracelessness, the image that I have had to suffer. These nails at my temple. The cross is the virgin body of womanhood that you defile. In your guilt, you turn your back, nailed to that body. Lame ass Jesus calls me sister. There are no words for my contempt. Every woman is a cross in his filthy theology. He turns his back on me in his fear. His vain delight is the pain I bear. Alone he hangs. His choice, alone, alone, his voice, he shares nothing, this Christ, sterile, impotent, fuck-love prophet of death, he is the ultimate pornography, he, hear us, Jesus, you sigh alone in your cock fear, you lie alone in your cunt fear, you cry alone in your woman fear, you die alone in your man fear. Alone, Jesu, alone, in your cock fear, cunt fear, woman fear, man fear, alone in your fear, alone in your fear, alone in your fear, 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 warfare, 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 warfare. Jesus died for his own sins, not mine.
None can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be planted to the Lord for generations. They shall come and worship the Lord with righteousness. Some people that shall spring.
Hey up, and welcome to Abject Block Radio. We're me, Tim Goldie, and John Wild. Joining us today in studio is Nina Power, activist, campaigner, author of One Dimensional Woman, and teacher at Rompton at Royal College of Art. All right, Nina.
All right, John. All right, Tim.
All right.
All right. Nina contributed a chapter, Women, Machines and the Future of Female Noise, to the book Noise and Capitalism. And tonight she's going to speak about a paper she's recently done, a sort of follow-up, which is the dystopian technology of the female voice.
I do a lot of body image.
If you want to tell us about that, Nina?
I see a lot of different results.
Yeah, all right. Well, I gave a version of this paper at the Tate recently, but they messed up all of the technology. So, I'm going to give a version of it now. We'll see if all the samples work. It's a bit complicated, technically. I guess the inspiration for this was thinking about what happens to female noise in the public arena, or at least what we're supposed to think is the public arena, but really isn't anymore. And something about this ubiquitous voice.
You mean the way it's used in technology?
Yeah.
It's in the title, like, I suppose. But
I guess it's this sort of female voice that's sort of separated from a body that you hear in the supermarket machines and security announcements. That's supposed to be this weird combination of sort of reassuring but also really, really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was thinking about whether in the 20th century before now there was a possibility for a different kind of technologisation of the female voice. And this is all in the context of Pauline Oliveros and the celebration that was organised by Elektra and these brilliant people working on this noise archive, female noise archive, and this conference at the Tate on her, called Her Noise. And so it was about thinking whether there could have been a different route for a certain kind of female voice that maybe now the sort of daily version of it that we hear, we don't really think of in the same context of thinking about noise music and genre. But nevertheless, I think they have a kind of link, and we have to be critical of the way in which a certain kind of disembodied female voice is often used to tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to be both kind, but also really scary. So I wanted to sort of reclaim a second.
Have you got any examples?
Yes, I do. Let's see if they work.
First she said, your call is very important to us. And then she said, please hold, please hold.
Exactly. So,
Security breach.
Okay, so this is a clip called Sci-Fi Voice Clip Computer PA System Middle Age Female Security Breach Science Fiction, which is available on a clip site. But I kind of like...
So you can buy that to load you into your own technology and use should someone breach the security.
You can. And I think that there was a kind of moment where a sort of utopian science fiction female voice, the kind you hear in SF sort of TV shows, which is always playing on the tannoy, but maybe it's never the most direct voice. It's just in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Gets turned into this weird combination of shopping and security later on. So it's this kind of double side of technology, which is something that Pauline Oliveros in particular is always very interested in, about what technology can do, but positively, but what it's mostly used for is obviously not positive. And I think if you look at films like Metropolis and a certain image of like the female android and this kind of fembot, which obviously has this sort of sexual quality as well, very much so, and there's that stupid thing about men would prefer to sleep with robots and women would prefer to sleep with monkeys, and which people used to go on about a few years ago. But, you know, there's something about this sort of the fembot voice, which is very, very alluring.
Is it a sampled voice, generally, or is it a natural, synthetically created?
Well, both. I mean, the next clip I want to play is actually, I guess, maybe something a bit opposite from this kind of SF fembot voice, which is a kind of homely version, but it's still equally disembodied. Okay, and this is the voice of Carolyn Hopkins, who does all of the transportation systems announcements in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Although she's only been on the subway once in her life. But it's a very different image from this kind of like chrome metallic sort of securitized fembot voice, but no less creepy for that. But let's see if this works.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a Brooklyn-bound local train 2 stations away. Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound local train is now arriving. Please stand away from the platform edge, especially when trains are entering and leaving the station.
Okay, so I guess the American transport version has this kind of slightly homely apple pie sort of quality to it.
Accent in there. And
yeah, like it sounds like a sort of slightly portly aunt or something, and maybe this is supposed to reassure you not to jump in front of the train. But I guess what I was interested in terms of thinking about the separation of the body and the voice in terms of public space and actually the increasing realisation that there is no public space left. So, like, something like Occupy really revealed that basically all land is owned by someone. Mm. And, I mean, maybe that's a sort of banal thing to say in some ways, but...
I think it's still pretty relevant, especially post-Olympic land grab.
Right, exactly. So let's say, if you know, you're walking through a railway station, you're on a bus, and you hear these announcements, are you merely passing through those spaces, or are you merely travelling to get to A to B, and that voice is just an accompaniment? And I think there's a kind of fundamental insecurity if you're walking through a train station, for example, whether this place belongs to you, and then who does this voice also belong to? And I think there's something interesting that happened when there's this woman called Emma Clark who does all of the tube announcements. I mean, at the moment, I think they're all done by Boris Johnson or something, but...
Get out of London.
I know, but he's really messed that up, because if you go out in pubs at the moment, they're all completely empty.
I've noticed it.
Like, no one's going out at all, and everyone, all the middle-class people have gone on holiday or something. And but anyway, that before Boris Johnson being on the trains and buses all the time, there was Emma Clark, and she actually got fired in a complicated way in relation to what she did. And she's the voice, she's the really kind of, upper class, posh English woman voice, Radio 4, but, like, more excessive than that sort of voice. He does all of the, old street...
I know exactly what you mean.
...type announcements. And what she did all these, like, spoof announcements, using the same voice, of course, which is equally disembodied, but it's, let's see.
I remember this case, actually.
I'm in here.
Would the passenger in the red shirt pretending to read a paper but is actually staring at that woman's chest please stop? You're not fooling anyone, you filthy pervert.
Okay, so she did a whole series of these announcements. And they're like, some of them are awful. They're really snobby and sort of stupid.
We'd like to remind our American tourist friends that you are almost certainly talking too loud.
Okay, they're pretty nasty, right?
Would the gentleman in the pinstripe suit and £1,000 glasses, who obviously works in the media, please take one step forward onto the track as the train arrives? Thank you.
All right, one more.
Residents of London are reminded that there are other places in Britain outside your stinking shithole of a city, and that if you remove your heads from your arses for just a couple of minutes, you may realise that the M25 is not the edge of the earth.
Okay, so basically there's something maybe a little bit unsettling about hearing the same sort of cut glass, you know, RP.
So she got sacked for that?
Well, it's a bit complicated. She apparently didn't quite get sacked for those messages, but it was about the same time and allegedly for something slightly different. So I think there's something kind of revealing about the creepy power of the disembodied voice and how maybe it's difficult to sort of criticise it if you are that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this great quote.
I suppose you lose copyright on your own voice.
Well, no, exactly. Okay, and there's a great quote from Emma Clark. She says, "I got a call from a journalist from the Mail on Sunday, eager to do a story about the spoofs. He asked for the backstory and also my experiences on the tube hearing my announcements. I told him I hadn't been on a tube train in which my voice could be heard, much like the American woman, I suppose. He asked why. I told him the thought of being in a tube carriage, hearing nothing but my voice, would be a dreadful experience for me, sitting with strangers who were all wishing I'd shut up and give them some peace. I said it's a bit like when I ring a company, only to discover my voice on the unhold system telling me to press 3 for accounts. Or like being woken up by my radio alarm broadcasting a commercial I've recorded about a pre-Christmas ample free parking retail opportunities. Hearing one's own voice slam full in one's face is a disconcerting experience, let me tell you. You should see my face when I'm in a supermarket listening to me telling me to buy cut price meat."
Pleased to meet you, meats to please you.
But I think, is there something like both very familiar about that experience of like not liking hearing your own voice, which is, it's almost banal when people say it and you say, oh, come on, everyone's voice sounds weird. But for a professional voice artist to have this unbelievably creepy dystopian experience of her own voice, I think is really funny. And the fact that she tried to, you know, take the piss out of it and then lose her job because of it is kind of funny. All right, but to go back to what's happening, what we hear all the time, there's a couple of things, one of which I guess would be something to do with the correspondence between the kind of loss of jobs for physical people, for actual people, and being replaced by kind of this disembodied voice. And I think the sort of supermarket experience of using these sort of self-checkout machines, which, you know, the timbre and the tone and the quality of that sort of female voice. And it's interesting how often those voices are female. Like, why are so many of these announcements female? I mean, when we listen to the news, there's actually still a sort of way in which if there's a very serious kind of public announcement, it's usually done by a man. But these kind of anonymised, sort of, you know, generic, everyday sort of announcements. And
it's kind of telling you what to do it in a nice way.
Exactly. So.
Select payment type. Have you swiped your Nectar card?
Mm-hmm.
Insert cash or touch pay with card. Please take your change. Notes are dispensed below the scanner. Thank you for using Sainsbury's self-checkout.
Okay, so that's kind of quite a common voice, I guess, but, you know, I guess the empirical relationship between the sort of omnipresent, ubiquitous use of that anonymised generic female voice and the sort of concomitant loss of female jobs in the recent round of cuts is particularly chilling. And
it's really noticeable, isn't it? Kind of, especially in the supermarkets, how you, it used to be a choice to go to those self-checkout things, but like the other day I queued up to be served or whatever, and there was some guy just pointing at me saying, no, self-checkout, you kind of no longer is a choice. It's kind of, they've got rid of the workers and it's not an option. It's just the way it's going.
Yeah, but they still always have to have like at least one person who's sort of incredibly harassed, sort of fixing all the machines when they kind of break endlessly or don't scan something properly.
It's a bit off the thing, but yeah, it feels like a rant at the moment. It's kind of.
So I guess on a continuum of this would be this the security announcement. So this is the sort of announcement that's often played at stations. I'll talk about it, what it might mean afterwards.
Station control room. Will Inspector Sands please report to the station control room? Will Inspector Sands please report to the station control room? Will Inspector Sands please report to the station control room? Will Inspector Sands please report to the station control room?
Okay. So that's the sort of thing on a loop, and often you hear it sort of late night and you can't work out whether it's a test. But what it really stands for is it's supposedly code phrase used by public transport authorities to alert staff and other agencies, such as the police, to an emergency, such as a fire or bomb scare, without alerting the public. So Inspector Sands is obviously this, you know, made-up figure. But I guess, you know, if everybody knows that this is a code phrase, then, you know, its ability to reassure the public will be slightly diminished, I suppose.
I know now you've told us that if I'm down there, like, stuck on a tube and that comes on, I will start to panic.
Well, just sort of walk out quickly but calmly.
Although it's probably because Tim's just come in that they're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, the final thing, I guess, in this regard, we're going to play like a remix of